Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. I'm coming to you today from Washington, D.C. in the FBI headquarters, and I'm sitting with Spencer Evans. Spencer is a section chief at the Office of Private Sector here. Spencer, thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Oh, I'm glad to be here. My pleasure.
So we're going to talk today about your office, and why don't we start by talking about what is the overall mission of the Office of the Private Sector?
I think the best way to describe the mission of the private sector is to take a step back and describe the mission of the FBI, which is to protect the American people and uphold the Constitution. And so it's important to frame it that way because everything else that we do in some form or fashion falls under that overarching mission. So the Office of the Private Sector protects the economic security interests of the United States, which is in the national security interests of the U.S., by fostering and engaging relationships through private and academia sectors.
Great. Now, two of the key programs within OPS are the Domestic Security Alliance Council and InfraGuard. Let's start with the Domestic Security Alliance Council. What's its mission and what companies are able to join it?
Yeah, great question. So the Domestic Security Alliance Council, or DSAC, is comprised of Fortune 1000 companies. So these are companies that have $1 billion plus in revenue, large companies that are involved in protecting critical infrastructure and the national security interests of the U.S. So as you can imagine, there's everything from aerospace companies, financial sector companies, those that are involved in a broad variety of economic interests of the U.S. that might be a valuable target for foreign adversaries or that play a critical role in national security. So there's approximately 590-something of them right now. And the purpose of the DSAC program is to allow us to have a relationship with these organizations so that we can have bilateral sharing of information, information that's important for those companies to be aware of so they can protect their business interests, so that their stakeholders can be protected against a wide variety of threat vectors, as we would call them. And it's in the best interest of the FBI because they serve as key partners to identify new trends in targeting by foreign adversaries. They share intelligence that informs our perspective beyond just our traditional law enforcement and intelligence community contacts. And so it's really a mutually beneficial relationship by which we can get valuable insight into what the private sector is seeing and doing to protect themselves, and then they can share that information with us as well.
If I can drill down, when you mentioned various threats, can you give us some examples of what those threats are?
Sure. So it runs the gamut, right? I mean, one of the things that the FBI is known for is addressing such a wide variety of different programs and threats. So it's everything from the counterterrorism side, homegrown violent extremists or foreign terrorist organizations that are seeking to inspire those in the United States to acts of violence. It could be hostile nation state actors that are involved either in traditional espionage or increasingly these days, non-traditional espionage against the private sector, stealing of trade secrets, for example, cyber threats, which are ever prevalent in today's society, and then criminal threats, right, which run the gamut from public corruption and, you know, civil rights violation, white collar crime, healthcare fraud, stealing of personal identifiable information, PII. So it really is a broad spectrum of threats all across every program that the FBI works.
Interesting. Now, same question about InfraGuard. What's its mission? What's the purpose? What companies join it?
Yeah, so InfraGuard is similar to DSAC in the sense that it's also a partnership with the private sector, but it's different in that DSAC membership is at the company level. So an individual company is a member of DSAC. InfraGuard are individual members. So there's 65 plus thousand of them across the United States. And so those individuals are somehow play a role through their work or other efforts that's directly involved in protecting critical infrastructure in the United States. So an interesting fact is 85% of the critical infrastructure in the United States is owned by the private sector. And so it's in our best interest to have not only the DSAC membership at the company level, the very large Fortune 1000 organizations, but InfraGuard, those individual members are everything from C-suite executives down to individual contractors or sole proprietorships that somehow belong to the program, and it in a similar fashion shares information with the FBI. There's portals that exist for both programs by which the FBI can put out intelligence. And then there's conferences and trainings that happen in both programs that allow them to collaborate with each other, share information with us, and give their perspective of what they see.
And by the way, to find more, I assume it's easy enough to search on a search engine for those terms or come to the main FBI site.
That's exactly right. You can find links to both on FBI.gov, and then they maintain their own web pages as well. So the membership criteria is also different. So as I mentioned, for DSAC, you know, those are memberships for the company. For InfraGuard, because it's individual memberships, the requirements actually are much less. So you have to be 18 years old, you have to be a U.S. citizen, somehow play a role in protecting critical infrastructure through your work, pass a, you know, limited background check that we do, and then, you know, be a member of good standing in your chapter.
Interesting. Now, when should the business community reach out to the OPS? Because you talked about creating a dialogue, but I think it would be good to people know, what is it you really want to hear about?
Yeah, definitely. So I guess I would reframe that question by saying we hope people will reach out to the Office of Private Sector, but more importantly, we hope people will reach out to their local field office. Because the Office of Private Sector, we're a small shop at headquarters that's kind of program managing these two programs, among others, including our academia outreach and external organizations and other things that we're involved in. But every one of the FBI's 56 field office has at least one individual who's dedicated as a private sector coordinator. Larger offices have more, sometimes an entire squad, perhaps, in Washington Field or San Francisco. And the purpose of those folks is to monitor the engagement with the private sector, meet with them, address their needs. And so every single individual and business in the United States has in their own backyard, because we're geographically defined in the FBI, a ready and willing recipient of information that they have to share, and also someone that they can ask questions of within their local field office that's a private sector coordinator.
And what are the typical things that a private sector entity would reach out to the field office for?
It's a hard question to answer because of the wide variety of things that we do. And so InfraGuard in particular was started, you know, in 20-something years ago in Cleveland, and it really centered a lot along cyber lines, right? The cyber threats were initially of greatest concern. Today, InfraGuard runs across all of the 18 critical U.S. infrastructure sectors. And so we might get inquiries from everything from agricultural and food safety to transportation sector, you know, type questions, everything in between. And so individual members will often ask about newer emerging threats for a particular industry or company that they're associated with. What's the latest intelligence? It might be geographically defined. Do we know anything of concern about, you know, a potential joint venture in another country? Or are there ways that they can protect themselves for, you know, some new system that they're setting up or some sensitive technology that they're exploring?
So theoretically, I'm a compliance officer, an executive at a private sector company. I suspect a breach, I'm subject to a cyber attack, or maybe somebody who we've hired may actually be someone trying to steal our trade secrets. Should they be reaching out to the field office, OPS, both? What should they do and what should they expect?
At the end of the day, we would hope they would reach out to the FBI in any capacity, but the single greatest and fastest way to get a response is to reach out to your local field office. Now, ideally, that field office has already been working on building relationships, whether it's through InfraGuard memberships, DSAC partners, or other external engagement that they have to know the individuals at that company. But if not, regardless, the FBI has almost 110 years of experience dealing with victims. And so there's often kind of a stigma that we hear erroneously that people are scared to call the FBI because they don't want to be, you know, on the news and be outed, and, you know, it's bad for shareholder value and all these other concerns, which are perfectly legitimate and we understand. I would just proffer, again, the FBI has long experience in protecting victims' rights and addressing aggressively, but also in a sensitive fashion, the needs of victim companies in these scenarios. What you can expect is a response. So every one of our 56 field offices, in addition to having private sector coordinators, has a cyber squad, has a squad that handles counterintelligence, and also one or more squads that handle criminal matters. And so there's going to be subject matter expertise through each of our 56 field offices to be able to address the case, whatever it is. We don't show up with lights and sirens blaring and raid jackets and, you know, come in with a large kind of vocal presence it's a very kind of subdued response. We're in fact-finding mode. That's what the FBI does best. And I think the quality of the work kind of speaks for itself. Those that have come forward early in the process tend to have a better outcome because it gives us more options. Those that kind of, you know, delayed and waiting and called us after the fact, oftentimes there's avenues that are then closed that we don't have as much that we can do. And so our advice and counsel would be contact us soon, and let us work with you to mitigate those threats.
Great. Well, Spencer, thanks so much for that insight. I think it's really interesting to learn these opportunities for people to work with the FBI both before an incident happens and once it does. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA saying, I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspective.